Announcements before we launch into the message this morning. My name's John. I know many of you, but I don't know all of you. It's so fun for me to look out into the audience and see new faces, familiar faces. I want you to know a couple things. Number one, we're doing a dads and kids camp out on Thursday night, June 13th, to Saturday morning, or to Friday morning, June 14th. And it's actually almost sold out. We have about six or seven spots left. But here's what I want you to hear. We're going up to El Cap, and we were talking about it, a few guys, and we were thinking, you know, this church, and you see all of this, and you're going, family and kids, and isn't this awesome? But you're in the audience, and you're going, I'm a single mom. How do I fit into this church? I got a little kid, and I'd love to have that little guy go on the camp out, or my little daughter. So Brian Jenks and John Ireland are going to become Uncle John and Uncle Brian. And if you're a single mom and you're going, I would love to send my kid or kids on this dads and kids camp out, and you trust us. That's a whole nother issue. First come, first serve. So after church today, come up to me and just come on up and say, hey, I want to send my kids with you on that Dads and Kids camp out June 13th to 14th, and we'll make it happen. So that's the first thing. Because, you know, we are a church of family, but we also understand life is messy. And we want to enter into that, and we want to be a supportive community. We want to be a no judgment community, but a community that's filled with grace and love and support, and we're in it together. We say that over and over again, and we mean it. And so we hope you'll take advantage of that. Second thing is Coach Dave Wolf and I. Some of you are newer in the last few months, and you're wondering, I'm looking for an on-ramp. How do I get involved in the community? How can I get to know either the pastor or other folks in the community? Dave Wolf and I are going to co-lead a six-week purpose-driven life small group this summer. It's going to be on Sunday nights at the Loft. It's 6 weeks. It's 40 days. It begins June 9th, which is next Sunday night. And the info should be in your program this morning, so if you find it in there. Again, if you can just email the church office or let us know that you're interested in that, we'd love to get. There's room for as many that can come, and we'd be excited. It's a great book if you haven't read it, and even if you have read it, that's one of the reasons I wanted to do it with Dave Wolf. I think he's on his fourth time that he's read through it, and it's impacted his life and shaped him so much. So I've recruited him in, and we're going to do this together. So whether you're new or not, it's a great spiritual growth step for you and a great way to get to know others this summer. So I hope that you will take advantage of that opportunity. And then finally, it's always kind of a risk to acknowledge people, because sometimes you acknowledge one person and then you forget to acknowledge somebody else. But I think anytime somebody's celebrating a 40-year anniversary, it is worth saying a shout out. So I don't know if Dave and Linda are here this morning. Today is their 40th. They are here. At least Linda's here. What's Dave? Rough night last night. Dave couldn't make it. No. Linda, I want you to stand up for a moment. Where is Dave out doing, still ushering? 40 years of marriage. These Canadians. I'm always so touched by those who are ahead of us, of Natalie and I. We've been married 30 years, and when I think of people 40, 50, you know, marriage takes work, and it takes intentionality and commitment, all those things. And so to have role models and mentors and people that have been down that road, we honor you and we celebrate you and God's grace. I asked Dave yesterday, what is your secret sauce for 40 years of marriage? I love to ask that question. And you know what he said? I don't know if you know this, Linda, but he said, there's a third person in our marriage. I'm like, whoa, dude, what? I don't know that that's biblical. But he was talking about God, having God. And you know, Ecclesiastes chapter 4 talks about two are better than one, if you're familiar with that passage, verses 9 through 12, and it ends this way. A cord, it's talking about two, 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 and then the writer of Ecclesiastes says, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And alluding to and pointing to the power of God in a marriage and in a relationship. So Dave just came back. Dave, stand up. We're honoring you for 40 years of marriage. There we go. There we go. Yes. You can watch it on video after. We honored you, dude. So, all right. Oh, we are starting a new series entitled Coming Home this morning. And I want to start by making a statement. I've said this before, but part of the role of a leader is to define reality. And I want to tell you some reality this morning is that there are people here today, people in our community, people in this world who have lost their way spiritually. People who were once close to God, passionate about their faith and following Jesus. People that were helping others find Jesus, but today have drifted away from God. Today, maybe you find yourself in this place this morning and saying, my heart is so far from God. And I'm guessing maybe for sure that there are many of you who know people. In fact, I'm going to ask you, if you know someone today in your life, they might live in Santa Barbara, they might live in Connecticut, who knows where, someone who was once close and passionate about their faith, but today they've just slowly drifted away over time, over the years, and they're far from God today. If you know someone like that, I want you just to raise your hand. Just raise your hand. And then just look around. See, that's so many people, so many of us. Today I want to talk about that. How does that happen? How does that happen? That we can have a close, personal, intimate relationship, connection, intimacy with the living God. How can we at one time in our lives experience that family, that home stuff, that life-giving stuff that Jesus offers? And then wake up one day in a foreign place, in an uncomfortable place. Our life may be unraveled, and maybe not. This morning we're going to look at Luke chapter 15. Very familiar passage for many. Some of you maybe have never heard of the prodigal son story. Tim Keller calls it the prodigal God story. It's a story of a father and two sons. And you have it on your program there. I always risk not reading it, but then I think some of you maybe have not heard the story. So I'm going to read it for us this morning. Beginning in verse 11, to illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of the estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. And a few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted or squandered all his money in wild living. And about the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods that he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. But no one gave him anything. And when he finally came to his senses, that is a phrase worth underlining. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at where? Home. At home, at home, at home. Even the hired servants have enough to spare, have food enough to spare. And here I am dying of hunger. I will go, say it, home to my father. Home to my father. There's the connection. Home is not so much a geographical place as it is a relationship. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. And so, and you want to underline this phrase, he returned home to his father, returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming, filled with love and compassion. Notice that it does not say filled with judgment and wrath and anger. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son. He embraced him. He kissed him. He said to him, "Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy of being called your son." But his father said to the servants, "Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger, sandals for his feet, and fill the calf that we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and is now returned to life." Returned to life. God, I love that phrase. He was lost, but now he's found. And so the party began. I wonder if there are some here today, maybe all of us today, that can relate to that story. We're going to simply focus this morning not on the older son, but really on the father today. If there's anything you get out of this morning's message, I would hope that you would soak in, reflect on, and read and reread and look at and take in the truth of what this story tells us about God the Father. Some of you come to this place and you have perceptions, I might say misperceptions, about what God is like from your past, from your experience. This parable that Jesus told, one of the main reasons was to let us into the heart of God the Father. What is God like? This story tells us what God is like and who God is. And he tells this story, and then we're going to look at this younger son who drifted away. I'm going to use the acronym DRIFT, D-R-I-F-T. If you're taking notes, just write, I didn't put it in on the back, just write a D, an R, an I, an F, and a T. And here's what we're going to look at real briefly this morning. What caused this younger son to drift? And what causes us, you, me, to drift away slowly? Drifting doesn't happen immediately. It happens slowly, little decisions, one at a time. And we wake up one day and we go, how in the world did I get so far? Why is it that I feel so far from God? And so I'm just going to make some suggestions. You could even fill in your own acronym, really. You could do your own spiritual inventory of the reasons, the causes in your own life of when you find yourself drifting away from faith, drifting away from relationship with God. And so the D, I think the D stands for doubt for many people. Many people are part of the faith community, but they start doubting. Is the Bible true? Do I really buy into this? I mean, come on. All these questions. And rather than staying in community and in a safe place where we make it safe to ask questions and make it safe to verbalize our doubts, maybe the doubts make you feel unworthy. I can't ask that question. I can't really have a conversation that's authentic and let my small group know. You know, I'm part of a pastor's roundtable, 8 pastors. We meet once a year. All covenant pastors. And about 4 years ago, we were on this retreat. We get together for about 5 days a year. And a pastor who's pastoring a church not unlike this church down in Orange County, he shared in a group of 7 other pastors, "I think I've lost my faith. I am struggling with doubt." And it was so powerful to sit here, to sit there, with a pastor, a leader of a church, giving expression to, I don't know if I believe it. I'm wrestling with it. I'm struggling with it. But here's what I loved what he did. He didn't drift from God and church and I'm out of here. He stayed in community, connected to community. It was safe for him. He was with some brothers saying, "Hey, I need you to pray for me. I need help unpacking some of this stuff." Today, 4 years later, this guy is more on fire than the other 7 of us in his faith because he stayed connected. He continued to seek God and seek truth. And God just met him in and through his doubt. And it was very powerful to me and is very powerful to watch him as a leader today to embrace that season of his life where he wasn't afraid to verbalize it with a safe community of folks. And rather than allow his doubt to cause him to end up just far from God, he stayed connected. And maybe there's a word here in that story for you. Doubting the goodness of God. Some of you are here this morning and you're doubting, is God really good? Really? I mean, I know we go, God is good all the time, but you kind of go through the mind. But is he really good? Can he keep forgiving me all of those same sins that I repeat weekend after weekend and I keep saying, I'm sorry, and will you forgive me? Is he really good? Does his mercy never end? Is his grace really, really true? What about the R? The R I put is riches. Riches. You look at the story in Luke 15. The son grabbed his inheritance. He grabbed the dough and life got and became really good for him. He didn't need his father anymore, and he found success out there he grabbed it and he went, now I can go do whatever I want. I got power, I got control, I got money, I can do my own thing. And I can tell you that this happens subtly for us. When we have it all, sometimes we go, I don't need God anymore. Another pastor friend of mine said he had a guy in his office who lost everything. Broken. Just he had drifted from his faith. He came back because he went through this hardship. Like he was feeding the pigs. You know, he's like, I got nothing. He went from very wealthy to having nothing. God met him in that brokenness. He comes back to this pastor friend of mine. Dude, I'll do anything. I'll serve the church. Man, I've totally screwed up my life. I'm repenting. Totally there. It's awesome. Then he's kind of an entrepreneur. He starts this new business and it just blows up. He hits a grand slam, becomes a multimillionaire. And off he went again. This pastor friend of mine goes, I haven't seen him in 2 years. I picked up the phone. He's just distant. He's, I'm just kind of, you know, I'm too busy. I'm too this, I'm too that. That's what happens with success, with money, with riches. It creates sometimes a restlessness. That's what this young son had, a restless spirit. There's something more for me out there. I want something different, something better than what I have right now. And we keep thinking it's out there somewhere in the world. And as you read this story, that's the story of the son, and he came to discover it's not out there, that home is in relationship with his father. And what happened to him? Through taking his inheritance, he slowly drifts away far from his father. The I. So you got D, doubt, R, riches. The I. I came up with the word injured. My conversations with people who are far from God, at some point they can trace back that they were injured relationally or spiritually. Something happened by another Christian. Might have been a business deal that went south, and that was a brother of mine. And I was like, I don't need this baloney anymore. You know what? If that's the way Christians are, I'm out of here. And so there's this connection, of course, between the church and Christian people. And I've heard stories of that. But I've also heard stories of people that were rejected in the church, slandered, judged. They felt like, man, these people, this ain't my tribe right here. You know what? I don't connect with this group of people. They injure each other. And they injured me. When I was part of a church, I just felt so judged by who I was. And that happens. Now in Luke 15, kind of reading between the lines, the younger brother grows up and he maybe possibly grew tired of being around his perfect brother. His bitter, judgmental, older brother. And maybe finally just went, you know what? I'm checking out. I don't need this. I don't need this family. I'm tired of this. There's got to be something better for me out there. And maybe it was through kind of getting wounded, injured from a family member. And maybe that's you this morning. Maybe that's been your experience in the church. Or maybe it was through a pastor who was super controlling your church experience in the past. You were part of this church and there was a pastor with a big ego and super controlling and it was, you know, his way, or you weren't really a Christian and you're going, whoa. You bought into it for a while and then you realize this ain't working. Or maybe it was a pastor who had a moral failure. You put your hope in this guy's leadership or gal, and all of a sudden he has a moral failure, she has a moral failure, and you're going, are you kidding me? You're a leader. I looked up to you, and now look what has happened to your life. Maybe it was you were part of a church. I had a conversation with somebody at Costco. My wife and I ran into someone at Costco who kind of said, I've kind of drifted away. I'm not part of church anymore. I was part of a church that split. It was so ugly in town and the leaders and the pastors, and it blew up. And I'm going, ugh, yeah. And maybe some of you are sitting here going, yeah, I understand that. And what happens? Then we make choices, okay, and we slowly drift away. And then the F for drift is friends. It's just friends. If you're single, it's a boyfriend or it's a girlfriend. It's that choice. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had. Well, I know he's not really a person of faith, but man, okay, that's great. I'm not judging you. But then, 2 years later, it's like, what happened to you? Yeah, well, we just kind of, he doesn't really want to go to church and blah, 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 blah. And I'm not here to make a judgment on that. I'm here to define reality. That happens so often in this town. Boyfriends, girlfriends, new friends. Oh, man, we met this great group of friends through PTA, through our kids' school, through soccer. It's awesome. And, it's so great. And they want to have brunch on Sunday morning. And you know what? They want to party, man. It's so fun. I feel like I'm in college again. We're out partying until 2 in the morning on Saturday night. I'm too friggin' tired to get up to go to church anymore. It's just, that is the story. That's the story. It's real, is it not? Am I speaking truth or not? And here we read in this story, it's the story of the son in Luke 15. He spends his inheritance on what? Wild living. That's what we're talking about. He wasn't doing that by himself. Who wants to do wild living by themselves? It doesn't work, right? Have you tried that? Yeah, it doesn't work. But it's about choosing friends who you're going to do that with. That's what makes it fun. And then you wake up and you're going, whoa, I don't know, Let me just make a comment about that wild living too. Wild living, or maybe the Bible might describe it another way too. Sin, living in sin, making intentional choices, choosing to rebel or disobey God's truth, God's way of life. You know what it does over time? I found this in my own life. I'm human. There are times I intentionally choose sin. I wish I didn't, but I do. And you know what it does to my heart? It hardens it. It hardens it. And so then over time, I find myself and I feel far from God. And I slowly drift away. And you know what that's like too. And then here's the T. The T is for, and it'd be interesting what you think. I kind of had two words. One is time. I had a conversation with somebody in the last 2 weeks. Friend of mine that's part of this community is like, dude, I know you haven't seen us forever, dude. It's just like crazy, man. My schedule, I'm traveling, I'm this, I'm that. It's just, kids and time and, okay. It's about choices. It comes back to choices. And let me just say, I don't want to equate coming or missing church. And I mean, yes, the faith community is part of it. But you know what? I don't want to just draw the, we haven't seen you for 3 weeks. It means you're far from God. I'm not saying that. I don't want to say that. You might be closer to God than I am this morning. And maybe you haven't been to church in 3 weeks. It's not that. But what happens is, and this friend of mine said to me, I'm far from God. That was the phrase. I'm far from God. My faith just is becoming stagnant and stale. I got to get back, dude. I got to get back. Slam, we'll come back. We'll be there Sunday, man, 10 a.m. Come back. I don't know if they're here today, but if you are, way to go. If you're watching the video, way to go. But maybe the other is trials, hard times. That's the T. That's the other T. Some people go through hard times and they run from God. They don't run towards him. In this story, when that son finds himself with the pigs through a real trial, tough, testing time, he, I think, makes the right decision. He doesn't blame God. He doesn't blame his father. He turns to his father and says, I need to go home. I need to turn back and go home. I need to go back to my father because that is where home is. And I would just encourage you, if you're going through a hard time in your life, don't run from. Don't allow your life to slowly drift away because of that. Turn the other way. Come home. Come back to the heart of the Father. And so here's what I want you to hear today. Here's the good news today. Focus on the Father in this story. What do we learn? A few phrases. No matter how you feel. Write that down. No matter how I feel. Maybe you feel foolish. Maybe you feel distant. Maybe you feel guilty, ashamed, stained. Maybe you have regrets about lost time. Maybe you feel alone, sorry. I don't know, but whatever. No matter how you feel, you can come home again. No matter what you've done, write that phrase down. No matter what I've done. In this story, we read this wild living. He's out with prostitutes, partying, this, that. No matter what you've done, maybe for you, it's partying, prostitutes, it's a deceitful life, doubts. Maybe there's some things that you said, some promises that were broken, some bridges that were burnt, some priorities that have been misplaced. Whatever it is, no matter what you've done, you can come home again today. Third phrase, no matter how far you've drifted. Maybe you haven't talked to God, literally. You can't get yourself to talk to him for a year. Maybe you haven't been to church in 5 years. Maybe the last 10 years have been the wild living for you. I don't know your story, but I do know that this story tells us that we can come home again. And it's your choice. It's still your choice. It's on you. This younger son had an aha moment when he came to his senses. Look at verse 17. What does it say? When he finally came to his senses, he had this conversation with himself. At home. At home. He's homesick. He's thinking about home. That's what we call homesickness. Verse 20. He makes a decision. So he returned home to his father. It was a choice he made. The father didn't make it for him. He made it. Home, home, home. Craig Barnes, Priscilla gave me his book this week, has written about home. Tim Keller has written a great book on the prodigal God. A few of their comments about home. I'll just read for you. Home, we're all yearning for it, that longing within, that deep longing in our hearts within. It's for a place that fits us, where we can be our true self. And that place is near to the heart of God. It's dwelling, God dwelling in us, us dwelling in God, making our home in Him. And if you look at verses 20 through 24 of this story, the son returns home and he comes to experience that true home is where you belong. It's where you know who you are and whose you are. It's not a perfect place. Craig Barnes says, it's not the Norman Rockwell painting. Look at the slide. I think we have it. See, we look at that and we go, that's home. And you look at the folks there. I don't know if those are the parents or the grandparents by that painting. But everybody's happy. Look at everybody's faces. That's kind of what we all picture. That's what we all want, right? But, you know, the thought bubble above the different people might be, man, I can't wait for this family dinner to end so I can go be with my friends. Or, hey, I'm really ticked off at my sister because of dot, 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 dot. And, oh, by the way, this guy, He's laughing nervously because his aunt across the table is an alcoholic and drinking too much. And the gal that's looking this way is looking kind of sheepishly because she's got some secrets in her heart that she's hoping the family doesn't know about. You're going, dude, what's wrong with you? Why you got to be such a downer? Why you got to be such a downer? Those of you that have the perfect family, we can have a conversation about self-awareness at another time. Home. Home is where we can be real, where we can be authentic. Here's what Tim Keller writes, and I'll close with this. When the son returns home, he discovers that home is being close and deeply connected to his father. That relationship of acceptance, warmth, forgiveness, being celebrated, being served, being known, feeling cared for, supported, understood, and loved unconditionally. That's home. That's home. And that's with God the Father. It's not so much a geographical place. It's that safe place with the Father God in the heart of God. And today I want to invite you to come home. If you're in a faraway land, if you have slowly drifted away, but somehow you found your way here this morning, I want to invite you to come home. The Father in this story is the Father that awaits at the table for you. This table of forgiveness. This table of grace. This table that says there's no judgment. The judgment was put on my son on the cross. And now there's grace for you and acceptance for you and a new way of life for you. And if that's you today, if your desire is to come home, to connect to God the Father, to restore that relationship wherever you are at today, to trust Him, to receive His love, to live this way, this way is not just about giving. You know how I often use this kind of illustration, but this way allows you to receive. Today's about receiving. Receiving the love of the Father, the forgiveness of the Father, the blessing of the Father. And so maybe today your heart's kind of like this. I invite you to come to this place spiritually to receive His love. Let's pray. Today we come to the table, O God, and we celebrate Your sacrifice, Your forgiveness, Your love. We celebrate that we belong to the family of God. We belong to You. You have declared that we are Your sons and Your daughters, and we confess, we admit, we acknowledge that we are a people that are prone to wander and drift and live in exile apart from You. We're nomads. We're drifters. And today, Lord, we come to our senses and we come home and we say, forgive us. We feel far from You. Today we want to be filled with the life of Jesus Christ, with His love, His mercy, and His grace. So do a healing work in our hearts. Touch us in those deep, deep places. And help us to deal with those issues, those causes in our lives of reasons why we drift. Help us to get to the root of those issues so that we stay home. And we're able to celebrate others who come home. We want to be good brothers and sisters for those who are far from God, who come home. May we not be the judgmental older brother, the bitter, the resentful, the judgmental one. We want to be the ones that hug and kiss and embrace and celebrate those who are far from You, but who come home to You. And so today as we come to this table, we receive Your grace afresh and anew in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.